it's not the same. That it's just not the same. So watching a video of something is not like being there. Knowing that, I still want to preach a sermon. This is the last sermon from the mindset of Jesus, and it is called I Have Been Abused. And we're going to talk a little bit about the cruelty that Jesus faced. Now, I've got to tell you tonight that I think stoning would have to be a pretty tough way to die. Getting rocks thrown at you, literally until you were dead, would just have to be a wicked thing to face. I got off an airplane in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, got picked up, taken up to a ministry compound, and the driver said, we're going to avoid part of town. He said, this morning, three men stole, and the people chased them down and stoned them to death up against a wall. That was in 1991. That stoning still takes place, if you didn't know it. And I thought, man, that's wicked. But that was actually a pretty fast way to go. If the rocks were big enough, I'm guessing those were probably half bricks that they were laying around everywhere. But in the days of Jesus, for the Jews, stoning was their sort of acceptable means of carrying out capital punishment. But under the Romans, the Jews were no longer able to administer any capital punishment. The Romans had to do it because they were the reigning country. Their people were in place, and so they took away that from the Jews. That's what brought about much of the story of Jesus. The Romans, over probably not a long time, coming into power somewhere around probably 225 A.D., or excuse me, B.C., being over Palestine all of those years, they had perfected crucifixion. Crucifixion, actually, in the case of Jesus, was a little more horrendous on the one hand, but a little more merciful on the other, because sometimes people would live on the cross for days. They weren't always nailed to the cross. Sometimes they were simply tied to the cross and died of just being out in the elements, exposure. Obviously, with having nothing to drink, it wouldn't take very long if you've ever just worked out in the yard. And boy, you find that place where your tongue starts sticking to the roof of your mouth and you can't even just work up any saliva. You quit, go in the house and get something to drink. But what would you do if you were hanging on a cross and that wasn't coming? That's what happened to those people. And they just died a very slow and a very miserable death. And so crucifixion was so horrendous that it was illegal to crucify a Roman. The Romans invented crucifixion, or certainly perfected it. There's debate over the invention part, but they certainly turned it into a science. And it was so bad that they could not kill a Roman citizen. Spared Paul. Crucifixion right there. We're going to read tonight from Matthew 27. We've got to get into the mindset of Jesus, and understanding what he went through is not an easy thing. We're in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 22, and this is a little bit of a lengthy passage, but it's the story, and we need to hear it all. Pilate said to them, this is going to be the chief priest and the elders of Israel. Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said to him, let him be crucified. They could not crucify him. They could not kill him at all. The governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult, a riot, was about to break out. I want you to remember that word if you can. I may forget to bring it up again. There was about to be an uprising, is what he feared. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. You see to it. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. And unsaved people do not comprehend what they are doing. They're not only condemning themselves, they are condemning their children. Wow. That just hit me right there when I tried to read it. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him, took the reed, and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Father, just what we have read tonight tells a tiny glimpse of the abuse you suffered. And Pilate was right when he said, "This just man." He was not right when he said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." He was incorrect, I believe, in that. But he was right when he pronounced Jesus as a just man. But Father, as I read on down, and those words struck me again, when people say, "I don't need Jesus, I don't want Jesus, I will not be under the lordship of anyone," they not only condemn themselves, but they raise their children to believe as them. God, help us reach people this coming week. Let this sermon be a reminder to us of the importance of the Easter drama. That it's not just all the work, and it has been a lot of work. It's not just the amazing props and the acting and the songs and all of those things. But Lord, if it is not the gospel, as Gabe said this morning, if we're not bringing people to Jesus, then it really, we've missed the point. Lord, there are lost people who do not understand, and we'll read that verse later. They do not know, and they will not know unless we tell them that they need Jesus. Father, for what you suffered, let us connect with that tonight. Let us understand and let it speak to us what you went through for us. Bless us now in these few moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point I would make to you tonight, based on this passage, Pilate, knowing him innocent, abused Jesus. For this, we look at verses 23 and 26. Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" He interviewed him in front of them, in their presence. He interviewed Jesus. And he said, "This man doesn't deserve to die. And if he had had the wherewithal, he would have said, I might kill one of you, but I'm not killing him." But he feared a riot. And as a Roman governor, the last thing you wanted to do was have Rome hear that you were having riots where you were the governor. It's a long way from Israel to Rome, Italy. And this man, Pilate, could not take a chance that Caesar hear that he couldn't handle his position. And so he did not want a riot. And so somewhere he said, what's one man? Even though he knew this was petty on their part. Verse 26, he released Barabbas and said to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. He scourged Jesus. We're going to look at that just a little bit. To give Pilate whatever credit we can, he thought, that when the people saw Jesus being whipped, that's what the word scourged mean. When the people saw Jesus being whipped, that they would say, he doesn't deserve that, change their minds and demand that he not be crucified. But that did not happen. And if you're saying, I didn't get that out of there, I didn't get that at all. Well, you may not get it there, but if you go over to Luke 23, I think you will. Luke 23, 13 through 16. Luke 23, 13 through 16. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I find no fault in this man concerning the things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. The Bible does say that was Pilate's plan. He thought when they saw him beaten that they would say, that's enough punishment. But it didn't happen that way. The crazy thing to me, and the point of point one, is that Pilate is trying to prove the innocence of Jesus by abusing him physically. If you think somebody's innocent, why do you beat on him? And yet, that's what he did. You remember when he says, behold the man. Wow. And here's the problem. We cannot believe nor understand the cruelty of people. We cannot comprehend what those people would do and not bat an eye. And I remember, I think I told y'all a week or so ago, a couple of weeks ago, about a man I worked for. He told me he could shoot people and eat peanut butter sandwiches. I believed him. In fact, I'm not sure he hadn't done it. I don't know. He was cruel. But these people, unbelievable. If you find yourself a tiny bit squeamish, I'm going to recommend you not look for a second. Because you're not going to see this on the evening news. Maybe. You saw that picture, right? Those are Egyptian Coptic Christians. Every one of those men are going to have their heads cut off. We're not going to show you that. You can all say thank you. I haven't had supper yet. I don't want to go home and have the last thing in my head that I remember, a man's head laying on the ground beside his body. This is a little tougher. See those men? Those men are all being shot in the back of the head with machine guns. They're dead right now. Those are all Christians. Those men behind them, those are all members of this group called ISIS. They're killing those Christians, shooting them into a ditch, piling their bodies up, covering them up, and going on their way. We don't know how many people have been killed by ISIS. We got one more. This is a little tougher yet. I don't know if you can see it. These guys are already dead, so you don't have to worry about their suffering. These are Christians that they're crucifying to make a point. What I want you to do is look at these people. Look at them. Look at this little fellow right here. Probably 15, 16 years old, smiling. They look like they're at a carnival. They look like they're at the zoo. They're taking pictures. Can you see this? They've all got their cameras out right there. They've all got their cameras out taking pictures of these men they have killed because of the Christian faith. You say, well, they ought to put that on the news. People don't know what's happening over there. They don't want to put that on the news. They do not. I'm saying in America, our government and I think our news media do not want you to know that's happening. I'm not going to be so pessimistic as to say because it's Christians, because it's not always Christians. Those people really don't care who they kill sometimes. But what I'm telling you is this. If enough Americans saw that happening enough, we would all be on the phone telling our congressmen, go over there and stop that. And they don't want to do that. They don't have the stomach for a war where Americans may be killed. So we say, let them kill the Christians. Really? How big a loss is that? They're going to fight no matter what. They're just killing the unwanted ones. Wow. That's pretty abusive, isn't it? And we don't even know. There's tons more. But we try to not go with the gory ones. That's gory enough in my book. But that's not a smidgen of what you can find if you want to see how bad this group is and what they're doing. They are calloused. Can you see they don't care? They're not standing here looking away. They're standing there smiling, looking at dead men that they have killed and hung on crosses, mocking Jesus and his own death, and mocking those people for being Christians. Wow. Those people are desensitized, and the problem in the first century was those people were desensitized to cruel forms of death. And that included the very people Pilate was trying to affect with his abuse. They didn't care that he beat Jesus. They stood there and watched it just like that, and I'll show you that even more in a few minutes. Point number, y'all, are you this? I know this. Some of you are saying, "Man, you said come back tonight. I wish I hadn't." I know. I want you to think about what Jesus went through. That he was cognizant of every bit of this. He was aware. He was not unconscious and being dragged. He knew what was happening to him. He was looking those people in the face. I just don't know if we can get this. Now, point number two says, the soldiers, not caring about his innocence, abused Jesus. They could care less whether he was innocent or guilty. They had a job to do, and they did their job. Matthew 27:27-31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium. That's Antonio's fortress, was a Roman building that set, actually you could walk to it from the temple. They were there so they could get to the temple quickly. They took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. They bowed their knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him, took the reed, and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. I've told you this before, but I want to use it because it fits so good right here tonight. Get out my little red pointer again. When we were in Israel, I know Larry and Rosemary and probably Barb, my wife, will all remember this. We were with a dude that was crazy. He was a smith. That explains a little bit, Randy Smith. But I'm just messing with Larry there. But his name was Randy Smith. He was an American that had lived in Israel so long, he had inside. He knew people. He got us in places where now they go, but not back then. And he took us into a convent. Catholic nuns convent. We went down underneath that thing, and he showed us a picture, and we're going to put that picture up. That's a stone actually laying flat on the ground. Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt over and over throughout its history, and they reuse stone all the time. If you ever look at the Wailing Wall, you can tell those stones are not matched. You can tell at different eras when they put different stones up there. And some of them, I don't know how they put them up there because they're so huge. They go down here in this building and they find this stone. And I'm sure at first they just thought it had markings on it and didn't know what they were. But I want to explain it to you. The King's Game. The caption says, a brutal dice game played by the Roman soldiers. Now, they had dice. We would probably not see them numbered with ones and twos and threes, but they were marked, and they would roll the dice, and they would play. You see this circle with the lines, pie lines? That was the game board, very much probably like we would think of Trivial Pursuit. I want you to look at this one. If you can see that, I don't know if you can see it. If you can't, turn around and look at back there. But this is the game board that was blocks on the floor in the praetorium. And the game board was marked with the letter B. The letter B stands for the word basilicus, which is the Greek word for king. And as the players were Roman soldiers, and they were over here rolling the dice and playing the game out, and as the game pieces were men, prisoners, and they would have to stand on the block at the appointed place, and depending on what the soldier did with his role, they would move them so many times. One place, basilicus means king. You with me? Basilicus means king. And at one place, you could win a purple robe. That purple robe wasn't Jesus's. They put it on him and they took it off of him. At another place, they put a crown on the king. And as I was reading that, probably the pictures we see are probably not 100% correct. The picture of this vine that I saw was probably the size of your finger and had thorns, probably about a quarter to 3/8 of an inch long, covering it. So we get the idea of the plaited, you know, with the big. But this was actually many more thorns, shorter. And what I have read about it was that they would have to sit it because it was sticking them too. They would sit it up on the person's head and then beat it down with a stick down onto his head. I believe that that's probably what is being described when it says they took the reed and beat him on the head, that they weren't hitting him in the head, they were driving the crown down on his head. And then it says that at another place they would put a scepter in his hand, a reed. And so he would be standing here wearing a purple robe in mockery, a crown of thorns in mockery, and a scepter. And the person who made it to the center, they killed him. Now, I believe because Pilate had told them, I believe that the game itself was a mockery, but they went through it knowing that Jesus would be in the center, knowing that Jesus would be the one they would kill. Did you ever know that right there? Does that kind of make you sick? This actually, preaching this sermon literally makes me ill, makes me sick at my stomach. To think that the callousness of people who hold another person's life in their hand, who didn't do anything to them. I got to tell you, and as much as I believe in the death penalty, I do believe that if a person is proved to do something so heinous, I believe the state has the right to carry out the death penalty. But I got to tell you, man, just to go out and shoot somebody, I wouldn't want to do that. That's wicked. I just, man, and it would also be very fast. This was not fast at all. So these guys are sitting here playing this game like you and I play, you know, any board game in our living room. The only difference is people's lives are hanging in the balance. Jesus lost. Other men were going to die that day too, but Jesus, I believe, endured much more punishment, much more abuse than the others. I can imagine that men begged to die to escape the cruelty of the torture. And at the end of the day, the men who carried out the crucifixion, I suspect, went home, washed up, ate supper, laid down, and said, I did my job today. I'm a good Roman. I'm a good soldier. In fact, remember I said when Pilate saw the tumult, a riot, an uprising, those guys probably said, you know, I don't think that guy did much wrong, but we probably saved a riot today. Better for one to die than some of us get hurt. Those Jews start throwing rocks and one of us would take one of them. Better to kill one Jew than some Roman get hurt. I believe they could totally excuse themselves for what they had done. And they had just hanged a man on a tree. Wow. Cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. That's an Old Testament. Huh. Wow. Well, the third point. This is the real sermon. That was just making the point. You all know it doesn't matter what pictures we put up, no matter how graphic they are. I don't know. I just have so many things run through my head. I'm not going to say them. The cruelty and the abuse and seeing those pictures, because most of us have seen them enough times, boy, we're kind of like, yeah, I know. I don't think we're able to grasp, because when I showed you those real pictures, I hope maybe some of you even looked away and said, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it either, but I'm trying to make a point to you. There are people so callous, they'll kill you and not care an ounce. They'll cut your head off. They'll hang you on a cross, and they'll mock you and your Jesus while they do it. Here's the third point, and it's the toughest of them all. The people, believing him guilty, abused Jesus. This takes a hard left turn. You ready? Matthew 27, 39 through 42. And those who passed by, people just walking down the road, by where, and the Romans were also good at this. They would line the road going in and out of the city with the crosses. That was very normal. They did it in Rome. So that if they, and normally, as I said, these bodies were hanging on the cross for days at a time. And so if you were thinking about maybe doing something that you shouldn't do, you would look at those people hanging on that cross, some still alive, and you would say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to do that because I don't want to end up on that cross. See, the death penalty was intended to have a deterrent effect. It did, I think, in their day. But these Jewish people coming out of the city and going into the city passed by, blasphemed him, wagging their heads, which to them was a great insult, and said, "You who would destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from that cross." They're mocking him. While he's hanging there, they're mocking him. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Oh, I'm supposed to read one more there, I think. No, that's good. That's a good place to stop right there, 42. This is really the hardest for me. See, Pilate was a Roman. The Roman soldiers, even if they weren't from Rome, some of them were, they were not Jewish. They were not Israeli. They didn't really care about this man. They did not know about this man. But all these others that I'm talking about mocked and blasphemed him for saying that what they were saying was true, but they didn't mean it. They believed him guilty. They believed him deserving of death. Wow. So if they believed Jesus blasphemed God, and if everything they did, they had a sincere belief that they were in the right, that mocking was only for their own benefit. He was dying. He was hanging on that cross. He wasn't coming down. Just out of sheer respect for life, they could have walked out, stood quietly, watched him die, and said, "Well, it's done." It's rough. We hate it had to come to this. He had every opportunity to do something different, but he wouldn't. And they could have went home. And they couldn't do that. They had to mock the Son of God hanging on a tree. They had to mock him and belittle him and invite him to come down. And they said, "If you come down, then we'll believe." They were lying. I'm pretty convinced they already knew who he was. Caiaphas, I don't have time to make this whole thing. But Caiaphas, speaking under the authority of the Holy Spirit, said, "Better for one man to die for all the people than for all the people to die because of one man. We're going to have to kill him." And it didn't matter if he was the Christ, the anointed one. It didn't even matter. Wow. I think they were just simply trying to make themselves feel better for the sin that they could feel surging inside themselves. Now, let me make a point. Their abuse was verbal. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is where we take a left turn. Pilate and the soldiers, their abuse was physical. They beat him. They mocked him with hurtful things. They beat him some more. They drug him outside the city, compelling him to carry his own cross. They nailed him to the cross, would have broken his legs, except the Bible said in the Old Testament that they wouldn't. And when they came up to break his legs to speed up his death because of the holiday, one of the soldiers said, "I think he's already dead." And you know the story. I see it's here. "I think he's already dead, sir." He says, "Is he? Well, here, let's do this." They stuck a spear into his side. The final bit of abuse for a man already dead. And the Bible says that blood and water flowed out, mingled together. Doctors tell us today, medical experts tell us today, that Jesus' heart ruptured under the pressure and under the duress that his body went through. And that what actually killed him was probably not asphyxiation, as crucifixion was sort of intended, but what really killed Jesus was a broken heart. Literally, a broken heart. His heart ruptured. The blood internally went down into his abdomen, into that cavity, and when they pierced his side, it all ran out. Wow. That was abuse. That was physical abuse. But what about this other? What about this verbal abuse? You ever heard, and I don't know, I was raised in Tennessee in the 1960s. And whenever somebody would be mean to us, my mother would tell us, because she wanted us to be civilized children, so she taught us this little ditty. Maybe you learned it too. "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." You ever heard that? Any of you ever learned that? Any of you believe that to be true? Anybody in here think words don't hurt? Can I tell you, words are painful. Words do hurt. Yeah, I got it. Sticks and stones, I know. That's physical. Pilate, the soldiers. But what about those other people who were Jewish people? What about the religious leaders who were supposedly watching out for the religious well-being of the people of God? Do you think their mockery hurt more than the physical abuse? I'm going to suggest to you that it was abusive. I'm going to suggest to you it was abusive. Words do hurt. So how did Jesus handle that? I had Roxanne looking for some stuff. You know, we'd get on the computer and find those pictures and things, and I had told her what I wanted her to look for, and she just looks for it. And she said, "There's one little video. It has Jesus up on the cross. He gets down, picks up a machine gun, and just kills everybody up there." Sometimes we say, "That's what he should have done." But that's not what he should have done. Luke 23 tells us what he did do. Luke, is it 23:34? Can you see that? Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." They divided his garments. Now, this was not the purple robe. This was a coat probably worn over his head that someone had given him. It wasn't the purple robe, if you've seen that movie. They took that back. This was his garments. But it was well made. And the soldiers, if you remember, said, "You know, rather than cutting this into pieces, let's gamble and just one person gets to keep it." And they cast lots. That's what they call dice, casting lots. Man, and all that would have hurt. But what hurt the most, I'm convinced, were the Jews who knew to look for the Messiah, and when the Messiah came, rejected him. John 1:10-11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. Now that's Pilate and the Roman soldiers. They were in the world, but did not know him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, King James says. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That was the Jewish people. That were the people, those were the people who mocked him even when he was dying. Not enough to kill him. They had to mock him as he died. And I believe he looked at them, and we think it probably looked something like this. See his eye? The other one's swollen shut in that particular picture. I believe somewhere, I know to a thief on the cross he did it. There's a song that says when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Some of the songs, I'm not sure they're theologically correct, but I'm going to use that to ask this question. If Jesus turned his head from the cross and looked at us tonight, would he find mocking? Would he find betrayal, denial, grief, abandonment, all the things we've talked about? What's in my heart toward the King of Kings tonight? What's in my heart when someone says bad words about me? Do I want revenge? Do I want to get them? Do I want to pay them back with more evil words back the other way? Or can I say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What is the Christian response when we are abused? Jesus told us, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do, or they don't know what they're doing. So I would say tonight, what is your response? What is your response? During this Easter season, would you let God check your heart? And if you find there that you have either been abusive or have been abused, let those things go. Put that under the blood. He died for all of that. He died to take all of that away. Let's let him do it. Stand with me tonight, would you? Those of you involved in the drama, I know you're going to have a busy week of final preparations. We're praying for you, believing that God is going to use this mightily. If you're not in the drama tonight, please be busy with them and invite, call people, urge them. Try to get people, unchurched people, into this church to give them a chance to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Father, as we go tonight, Lord, this is a somber occasion. There was not a lot to hoop about tonight. But Lord, the finishing sermon of this whole series was that Jesus was abused in every conceivable way, and hanging on a cross, he sought reconciliation and forgiveness for all those who abused him. So, Father, when we're abused, most of us will never really be abused physically, but even when we're abused verbally, help us to have that forgiving attitude. Help us to know that in the name of Jesus, we can demonstrate an act of forgiveness that will put those things away. And I pray that you will go with us this very week. Bring us back as we need to return all through the week for various reasons. And Lord, send us out there where the world who do not know Jesus is, and help us bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's in his name and for his sake that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.